Hey, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your old pal, the Moo Cow, a.k.a. Paul A. Presenza, and tonight we are joined by...
Jonathan A. Moody.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Excellent. And then the two of us are joined by...
Joe.
Yay, Joe. Thanks
Joe doesn't have a Moo name.
I don't. No. Should I have one?
No.
You can be an honorary Holstein if you'd like.
That's my cat's name.
Outstanding. We have not seen you here since Die Hard Dracula.
Yes. Well, I had to take on a sabbatical from after that one.
I completely understand. Well, this is a fun, interesting movie. I have no idea what you guys are going to make of it, but we're going way to the Wayback Machine, back to 1984. And we are going to watch the crazy, crazy chop socky movie called Wu-Tang Drunkard.
Oh,
it's also got like 16 other names.
Is that where the Wu-Tang Clan came up with their name?
I was going to say, this is significantly before the Wu-Tang Clan.
No. There's a story behind all of that. But, you know, I love my chop socky movies. And for a good while, they were like a big staple. And but these that were made by the Yuen Clan, they kind of go against the grain, and they're sort of wacky and over the top and nutso. And it's probably my favorite martial arts movie of all time. And it's so much fun.
Okay. So well, I'm excited.
I think you guys are in for a treat, and we will be right back after some mood music. Okay, we are back. So, what did you guys think of Drunken Wu-Tang? First impressions.
You go first.
It's like Looney Tunes meets Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Meets Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
Meets like lots of different shit melted into one movie. It's a weird, like I guess just... mesh of different stuff.
Have you guys watched a lot of like martial arts movies?
Not a lot.
I know I used to own a one, but I never watched it. But I owned one called like Cripple Masters.
Yeah, it's fun. See, the thing is that traditionally, I mean, they've been making martial arts movies for, you know, years and years and years and years and years. Traditionally, it's very stoic, you know, the whole Bruce Lee thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a completely different thing. So this is the Yuen Clan, okay? So generally when you're speaking of Asian films, you're usually thinking of the big two. The big two is Toho in Japan, who did all the monster movies, but also did a lot of samurai movies. And then Shaw Brothers. Shaw Brothers is Hong Kong. They're the ones who did most of the famous...
Bruce Lee movies.
Right, Hong Kong movies. Not so much the Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee went to America to do
those. No, I thought Shaw did like Enter the Dragon and stuff, if I'm correct. So he might have done all the...
Although, and I'll get into it, but he was actually the producer, Lo Wei, is actually the guy who's credited with finding or discovering Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan.
Wow.
So, yeah, so this movie is called Drunken Wu-Tang, but that's the VHS title. It was originally called Taoism Drunkard or Miracle Fighter 3, because this is one of a series of Miracle Fighter movies that was made by this guy's brother, who is Wu Ping Yuen. He's one of the Yuen brothers. He's brother number one. These are all the sons, supposedly, and I'll get to that too, of the original father, Simon Yuen. Now, Simon Yuen is a guy who is in like 300 movies. He's a longtime guy, well known. He's probably most famous for Drunken Master with Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah, I know that one, yeah.
He was the old guy. So these are his quote-unquote sons. Now, the thing is, I have seen some places online saying that these are his actual sons, and I have seen others who say, no, this was just an honorarium, that these are guys that he worked with, and out of respect, they decided to call themselves that. There's a whole rabbit hole of information on these Asian things. And I am no expert, so I don't really know. But I do know that there were four of them involved. So there is Yu Ping. He is the guy who does most of their movies. He does most of the directing. He's known because he in Hollywood, he did the special effect, or not special effects, he did the stunts and martial arts choreography for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and The Matrix.
But, was The Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, was that influenced by this movie or
He's the guy who did all that stuff, all the stunts, all the.
So this is just a little bit, like, crazier than, that was the more Hollywood.
He's the guy who does most of the films. But in this case, his brother, Chung Yan Yuan, also known as Charlie Yuan, he's the guy who plays Rat Face and he plays Granny. He decided to do the directing in this. So wait,
why did he, he decided that his brother wasn't going to be able to do it or something?
Yeah, his brother was doing something else, so he decided to direct this one.
Oh, cool.
So he's the second brother, okay? He has also been in 142 films because he's done a whole bunch of stuff. And he also made it to Hollywood, and he was the stunt and martial arts coordinator for movies like Charlie's Angels, Angels movies, Daredevil, did a whole bunch of stuff. Still
Ben
working
Affleck
today.
Ben Affleck Daredevil?
I think so. And he at least as of 2019, he was still doing stuff. So he's brother number two. And so brother number three is Shun Yi or Sunny Yuan. He's the guy that plays Old Devil.
Okay? Oh, okay.
So that's brother number three. That guy was in 104 martial arts movies. He also did stunts and martial arts choreography for 42 other movies. He was involved in two of the follow-up Matrix movies. He was in Kung Fu Hustle. These guys have been influenced all over Hollywood. Everybody knows who these guys are.
And they're all the producers of this?
No. These are the
actors.
They're the actors.
The Old Devil, the Granny.
Right.
Oh, yeah, okay. Everybody.
Right. So, brother number four is the guy who plays Cherry Boy. Chen Yuan, also known as Simon Jr. He's the fourth brother. He was in 36 movies, and then he was also the stunt coordinator and martial arts choreographer for another 8 films. So these guys have a far, 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 far reach. And all of them were involved in, because this was a Lo Wei production. These guys all ended up working for Shaw Brothers at one point or another, but Lo Wei did his own production company, Lo Wei Motion Pictures. They did stuff from the early 70s through up until the late 80s when he died. But yeah, he's known as discovering Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan. Now, the funny story about the Jackie Chan thing is, he originally wanted Jackie Chan to be more like Bruce Lee, but he thought he was too goofy. And he's like, you're never going to be the next Bruce Lee. And Jackie Chan was like, I don't want to be the next Bruce Lee. I want to be the first Jackie Chan. Because if you've seen a Jackie Chan movie, it's mostly humor. You know what I mean? So that's why he went off to go off and do other things. Or else he would have stayed with these guys. So
I'm glad he did that.
He's got to go his own way.
And plus, I mean, he is the Jackie Chan.
Right.
Like, he's separated himself. So.
But all these guys that you see working and acting in these things, they've all been directors, assistant directors, stunt coordinators, martial arts guys, all over the place. Mostly in Hong Kong, but also definitely in America as well. So they all have names. Hilda Liu, L-I-U, played Starry Devil. That was the chick who was getting older.
Mm-hmm.
She was in 13 other films, including one of the movies I'm going to do for Indie Film Cafe, Pink Force Commandos.
Oh, boy. Because
it's crazy. It's crazy shit. Love it. Fatty, the character Fatty, she was played by Su Ouyang. She was in 78 Hong Kong movies.
Wow.
She was in a lot of stuff.
She was great. I love
yes,
her.
She
yes,
was great.
Yes. Turtle Guy was played by Mandy Chan Chiman. He was in 25 movies, and he also went into Hollywood and was in a couple, including Bloodsport.
Cool.
So he was in that.
What was he in Bloodsport? Do you know?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but I do know that he was the action coordinator and assistant director in a bunch of other Hong Kong movies, too. So, again, he's been in a bunch of stuff. So, Pretty Girl, Cherry Boy's girlfriend, I forget her name, the really nice one, was played by Zhu Sai Ling. She was in 9 other films, and her sister, what was her name? Not Cherry Blossom, it was Sugar Plum.
Sugar Plum, yep.
She was played by Lo Pai Ling, who unfortunately died in 2020.
Aww.
She was in 8 other movies, and she's the one who, her sister's pretending to be the ghost and tells her to go marry
right.
the guy who looks like Ratface, just to get her on, to make her honest and stop being such a jerk. My K-O-R-I, something like that. He was the wine owner, the wine shop owner who, you know, tricked him with the little
thimble thing. Yeah.
He's also the writer of this movie. Oh, this is the only movie he wrote for these guys, but he was an actor and he was in 96 other movies, but for the UN Clan movies, he was mainly the production manager and planning guy. So, but he also did other stuff too. And then there was another guy, the guy who played the suitor, who was he was called Peng. He was Tai Po, and he's another guy that's been in a bunch of stuff. He's in 150 movies and bunch of Hollywood stuff. You know, so these guys, you know, they are very, very, very well known in that community. And these were very popular overseas, very popular in Hong Kong. This movie made $5.3 million in Hong Kong.
Wow!
And the series itself was pretty darn popular. And the thing was is that their rivals at the time was Shaw Brothers. Even though Shaw Brothers had a much, much, much bigger operations, their movies tended to be a lot more expensive, a lot more stuff going on. But in the early 80s, they had, and we're going to cover these two, trust me, Adventures of the Spooky Kind, where they sort of mashed comedy, martial arts, and horror all together and sort of made these crazy, wacky movies. So these movies, these Miracle Fighter movies, were made to sort of rival those without quite the budget that the Shaw Brothers had. So it's really weird because, again, this is a very different tradition. You know, when you go back to Bruce Lee, you go back to all the earlier stuff in the 50s and the 60s and up through into the 70s, traditionally you would have these stoic martial arts fighters who obey the rules and, you know, only break it when they have to go out and seek revenge, blah, 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 blah. This whole thing with these rascals and drunks and tricksters, it was a very, very different kind of martial arts film. And of course, it's very well established now. But yeah, so this was a breakaway from that whole system, and I'm so pleased with it because, like I said, when I was growing up and we had Kung Fu Theater on Saturday mornings after, you know, Monster Triple Feature, I would sit there and watch, and they were the traditional chop sake movies, many of which are really, really good, some of which are kind of meh, but I had never really seen the comedic ones until like high school. So I was like maybe 16 years old when I saw this one. I was like, holy smokes.
How did you discover it?
Somebody showed me the VHS and said, oh, here, you'll check this one out. And
isn't that how all your stories start?
I know. People are like,
a dark alley of VHS tape. They know you go anywhere.
They know I like weird movies.
I was walking down the street. Hey, would you like
they
this?
Know I like
the guy
weird
in a trench
movies.
Coat.
And, you know, at the time, I saw it in the first time I saw it was in Cantonese, so I didn't even know what the hell they were saying.
And there were no subtitles.
Did not matter at all.
No, wow. Because like you're watching it just going, what the
fuck? It was just fun to watch.
Years later, I found it on VHS when it came out in the late 90s, and I grabbed it, and I've been cuddling it ever since, waiting for it to come out in DVD. Apparently, there is a DVD version out there finally. And I do have a copy supposedly winging its way towards me. But the thing is that all of the UN Brothers movies are kind of in sort of a limbo. Remember, in overseas, especially in Asia, the laws, the intellectual property laws are very different, if they even have them. So I'm not really sure who owns what at this point. A lot of their movies are not out there. I do have the other movie, Drunken Taoism. Not Taoism Drunkard, but because a lot of the movies are the same.
Right.
They made, it's funny, the movies, there are at least three that I know of. They all star the same people in the exact same roles. However, each individual movie, it's like they don't know each other, so they have to reintroduce themselves all over
again.
It's
a different story.
It's a different story.
But all the same characters in the same, that's interesting.
So they end up fighting Old Devil again, and, you know, various times. And there are a whole bunch of different tricks and different stunts.
So you've seen all of them?
I've only seen what I think is the second one, because I'm not sure if this is the second or third one. I've not seen the original one yet. I'm going to, as soon as I find a copy of it. Trust me.
It's not even on, like, YouTube or anything?
There are clips. I've seen clips that are on YouTube, but not the entire thing. So, because these things are hard to get. Mm. Trust me. The only reason I got it way back in the 80s was because I had a friend who collected
the guy in the trench coat. The guy in the trench coat, as previously mentioned.
All right. So okay. So interesting. So but you did score a DVD recently, and you got that coming to you of this one.
Yes.
And so hopefully there could be a DVD out there, or somebody could be, you know, I'm surprised somebody like Screen Factory isn't
looking at it. There are Chinese companies out there in Hong Kong and other places where you can buy this. However, it's going to be all Chinese. So that's the problem.
No subtitles or anything.
Exactly. Getting the subtitle version and getting a cleaned up version, because, of course, this was shot in the early 80s. Who knows what the original print's looking like.
The dubbing was amazing.
I mean, we're only getting all the Shaw Brothers stuff now after the main Shaw guy died. So, but they're now just starting to re-release those in the general public out in the West.
So you think it might be a rights issue? Like nobody, owns the rights? Or
Andrew Leavold might know more because he's out in Australia. He's got a lot more access to that stuff.
Ask him about it. Yeah. That would be interesting to know.
I guarantee you he knows this movie.
I wouldn't mind watching another one of these. Like, it was so ridiculous.
So who in their right mind amongst us can possibly talk about what happens in this film?
Jolynn, do you want to try? Or?
Well, there were so many times when I would turn to Paul and go, is this supposed to mean something? Is this supposed to, what just happened, you know? And what significance does this have? And there were so many times when I had no idea what was going
on. And Paul even said he didn't know.
Yeah. So.
There are some things. Repeated viewings helps.
Yeah, I think so, because there would be some things that I didn't get, and then Paul would say, oh, this is what's going on, and then it made sense. But it just goes so fast.
Well, okay, so I'll try to do what I can. So basically you have Old Devil, who's also known as Master Ruthless, who's trying to get his hands on the quote-unquote secret document. He tried to do this before, and they punished him. Remember, that was the flashback thing.
Yeah, that's the first.
Where they put him on that chair that had the burning...
The hibachi grill slide.
Where he slides and burns his hands, and then they peel the skin off.
Master Ruthless, how dare you attempt such a crime as to steal the precious secret document? You have offended the gods and will receive the age-old punishment, skin-peeling treatment, plus expulsion and death. I want to see my lawyer! Request refused.
So he's got no fingerprints or anything.
Right,
like that.
Right.
So now he's back for revenge, and he wants to get the secret document. The secret document apparently is being guarded by Granny and the quote-unquote Cherry Boy. Now at the same time, there's wonderful, wonderful Ratface, who's one of my favorite characters of any movie anywhere. He's just drunk all the time. He's in his little rat mobile that he pedals.
Oh my god, that thing was the best thing I've ever seen in the life.
It's like a live-action Fred Flintstone car.
Yep. Right! Yep. It was like a cartoon.
A little bit like a Shriner thing, you know, in the parade.
Yeah.
And he's just going all over the place, not caring.
And runs, knocking people over. Yeah.
Being a nuisance. And he goes to his brother's temple where he's the main priest.
And he knocks everybody over. My favorite line is like he complains about the pedestrians. And like they were the problem.
Yes.
I was like, what the hell?
And so he ends up spilling the sacrificial oil and damaging the statue.
The head of the statue.
Yes, for their god. So he's like, you know, in order to punish him, he's like, okay, in order to fix this, you need to go find a Cherry Boy, Barna, this date. And bring him here for this ceremony. So
don't explain the Cherry Boy.
And then he even tries to get out of it. He's like, isn't there some other priest that can just do that? He's like, oh my gosh, you're so lazy. Just do it. Just do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's the brother telling him that or whatever.
So he, Red Face, goes off into the world. All he wants is to do is drink, but he's got to find the quote-unquote Cherry Boy. So he starts asking around who was born on this date. He's trying to give them some money, you know, bribe them.
Apparently,
and he gets
a bunch of boys were born on that date.
Yeah, so like a bunch of little kids line up, and he's got to prove that they're Cherry Boys.
By looking at their...
Yeah,
by making them all drop their pants and then putting them in this weird basket and then inspecting their...
junk, I guess.
Yeah. What's he looking for?
At one point, the mother of one of the kids comes up and...
Get out of here!
Smacks
him. Get out of here, you little pervert! He said she called him a dirty old man.
Dirty old man.
Appropriate.
I'm not 100% exactly what he's looking for, but I know at one point, this one kid apparently painted hairs on his junk to try and pass off that he was... I don't know.
Yeah, why would that signify...
I don't know.
But it, at one,
you don't lose hair once you become point, you lose your virginity.
At one point, you don't, all the little kids drop their pants right in front, and you see it.
Thankfully, I did not see it.
So you said, watch very carefully. And so I tried really hard not to watch carefully because I knew something bad was coming. I did not see it.
But you noticed it.
Trust me. Well, you know how it is. And remember, we've had weird, crazy Asian movies where the humor goes to places where you're not going to do that in the West. We watched a movie called Magic Lizard, where there was a joke about a water buffalo taking a dump, and you actually get a close-up of the anus going, wah, and this giant turd sliding out. Like, you're right there. And we're like, ah. So, yeah, they will go places.
These are the movies he picks, okay?
Yeah.
Well, like, let's just make sure that people know Magic Lizard and this movie are Paul's picks.
Absolutely. But they'll go places they won't go in the West, which is kind of fun. But anyway, so he can't find it that way, and he bumps into quote-unquote Cherry Boy, and they have a fight because, of course, that's what he does. And he ends up getting mixed up with Granny, who is, of course, being played by the same guy who plays Ratface, which is wonderful. And it's,
You skipped a little bit. You skipped the fact that the Cherry Boy was living with Granny and had to go... I guess he had to do the tests or whatever.
Yeah,
and
it's
stuff.
His birthday.
It's his birthday, so he had to go through the coals, and he starts putting all the paper down on the coals and trying to
walk. Yeah, apparently walk on hot coals if you put a thin sheet of paper over the top.
That's right.
Just FYI.
His birthday, so every year he's got to prove himself that he's going to be able to protect the magic document. And he gets through the coal test, and he gets through the sharp bamboo test. However...
he fails the watermelon monster test.
The watermelon. Who can describe the watermelon monster?
Little Shop of Horrors meets Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Yeah. Like the whole time he's like.
Yeah. The watermelon monster is this brain-melting insanity where this roly-poly round melon with antennas coming out of his head and a big giant mouth with extra sharp teeth.
And lips with lipstick.
Lips with lipstick. Comes out, and I presume...
So it's a female, I guess? I would take it.
I presume it's being played by a little person because he's got little itty-bitty feet, but he's running around and hopping around, and he attacks everybody who comes near the magic document.
Favorite character.
Yeah.
And you got to understand, guys, there is just wire action like you wouldn't believe and just crazy stunts, and the watermelon monster is not immune. He's flying all over the place.
Like
he's
jumping
and hopping.
Oh my God.
You have to see it to believe it.
I mean, all of this movie you have to see to believe because we could describe it, but it's
indescribable.
Yeah. You have to watch it.
It's like, really if weird. Somebody were to make an action figure of that little watermelon guy, I would put him on my nightstand. I mean...
I was telling him I want one.
Yeah, well, yeah. We should make one.
I did find somebody on DeviantArt.com drew the old devil fighting the watermelon monster.
Oh, that's cute.
Awesome. But, yeah, and so there's all this other extra stuff that's going on, and then, you know, you meet... Cherry Boy's girlfriend, and then his sister, whose wife or husband just died.
That's the best part, is that you meet the Cherry Boy's girlfriend, and then later...
Sugarplum.
Yeah, Sugarplum, but later on, what's it, you know, he's like, she's too hot, you know, he must not be a virgin, you know?
Oh, right.
That was
no,
one of
the... No, Sugarplum's not his girlfriend. Sugarplum is the one...
The other one, yeah.
Whose husband died.
Yeah, so that's the sister.
What's the other sister's name?
We couldn't remember he had the actress's name written down, but we couldn't remember
but
her name.
But I can't remember the actual character.
The only, like...
Su Fang is what
the only, like, relatively normal person in this movie. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of the straight person. Yeah. Everybody else is nuts. But anyway, so her sister's husband just died. She has a suitor who's kind of a jerk. He's like always feeling her up, and she's got to smack him. And they go to the funeral, and it's just a wackadoodle.
That
stuff.
Scene was because there's somebody there playing with.
Oh,
the...
it's him. It's Cherry Boy. Yeah. He's up in the corner, and he's
playing with the corpse.
He has strings on the corpse and plays him like a marionette, and makes him. scare the sister and her lover while they're making out right underneath the table containing the corpse of her dead husband.
And let's not forget the professional mourner who is being paid to cry there, and then he sneaks back there and steals the gold teeth from the corpse.
Yep.
He steals the gold teeth, and then he's playing with the thing, so it makes it look like the corpse is alive, and he starts freaking out.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No.
And so
it's not clear why Cherry Boy is doing this at all.
Because he's a scamp.
Yeah, because he's a lovable scamp, right.
But anyway, so Sugar Plum now thinks that she's being haunted by the spirit of her departed husband. So they decide they're going to go to a witch to get his exorcised. Well, the witch that they go to is Granny.
And then, like, but the best part, though, to me is that Cherry Boy's girlfriend also plays pranks on them.
Right, yeah, right. So Cherry Boy gets Granny and takes her aside to do something while she's in the middle of the ceremony, and she's you know, channeling in the deceased husband, and he's got the deep voice.
He's from hell. She's getting him out of hell.
Out of hell. So while she's distracted, here comes the girlfriend.
Sister, yep.
She sits in there, and her voice is the exact same.
Well, because it is supposedly the...
And she completely changes the trajectory of the film by saying, unless you marry the next guy you see with a red nose and a buck teeth, you're going to die a horrible death. And of course, she's describing Ratface.
Right.
Of course. Also, but before then, we forgot to mention that the dead husband wants his gold teeth back.
Oh.
Yeah, it's because he can't chew his food.
Okay, so he doesn't want them that bad, though, because he comes back and they're like, why have you come back? Because I can't rest in peace without my gold teeth. And then at the end, he's like, well, see ya. No more mention of the gold teeth. Like,
yeah. I don't care about it that much.
There's a lot of weird Taoist stuff going on, Taoist magic, that I do not understand at all. So
I don't,
how much of this
I
is
don't
accurate?
I don't think that's what that was.
How much of that is over the top?
I don't think that was anything like, you know, magic. Like, you know,
you'd be surprised. I've seen a lot of these movies where they have weird Taoist stuff.
You don't think that was actually just them doing a fake seance? Like,
well, they were, but how much of that is based on the real thing?
Oh,
I think there's a lot of it in there. It's just they went and took it and pushed it way beyond for comedic reasons.
So is Granny a con artist in some way or whatever?
I think Granny is the real deal, but remember, because, you know, she was actually doing what she was supposed
to do.
She was
asked to. What's his name? Cherry Boy took the Granny away to go talk to her about something or whatever.
Right.
And then the girl goes and, as we were pointed out, is like to change the whole thing to fit the thing. So I just felt like there was like some fake like microphone.
That's
thing,
what I thought too. But
some kind of thing making the voice.
I think that's a dubbing thing. I think they got a voice and then they got the same voice.
Oh,
and that's part of the trick.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's supposed to sound the same. It can't be all of a sudden he sounds different. Like, you know, husband, why did you sound different?
It's also part of the humor because we all laughed when she started talking and it was the
exact same voice. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that was good.
And it helps the trick. So now she is after Ratface, and Ratface has zero interest in getting
involved.
I swear
to God, Ratface is a virgin.
Yeah, she's pretty.
She is pretty.
The sisters are both pretty.
But she's annoying. She's extremely annoying.
She is not.
Sugar Plum is. Yeah,
I don't think so.
Oh, and he's like, I'd like to have a Sugar Plum.
I would be okay with her all over.
She's
me.
Like, oh, my husband's dead. I just want some attention. Why won't you cuddle with me?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, sure.
I know. It's
come
all you got to do. But, you know, she will not give up. She will not give up. She's like, she even says, you know, when I put my mind on a man, I get him. So, I mean, that's her character. When she wants something, she's going to get it.
Yep.
And so that's happening all at the same time that old devil wants to get the document.
Don't forget about old devil.
Oh, God. And then there's all this other stuff that happens. Like, I don't understand, like, you know, because we run into Starry Devil. Okay, Starry Devil and her henchman, Fatty, which is what the character's name is. And then the guy that I call Turtle Man, because I don't remember what his name is. They fight
Turtle Man because he does, like, all of a sudden he'll put his head up like a turtle.
Into his armor.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they fight Ratface in the market when they're giving out fake lottery tickets.
Mm-hmm.
and there's like a big misunderstanding and a big to-do, and then that's where we see Scarf Lady. Starry Devil has her magic scarf.
I call it Toilet Paper Lady.
Yeah.
It looked like flying toilet paper.
But they all had their tricks. Like, even Fatty had, like, this crazy kung fu, and she would squash people. It was so funny.
It was, she would squash people, or she would do this thing where she just, like, put her arms up and down and just, like start
bash people into the ground.
Bash people, and I'm like, these are like, this is like a freaking...
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Like, this is something.
Well, at
game.
One point, they two of them kicked each other and they both fell backwards and I went, finish him!
There's like backflips galore everywhere. It's like every 5 seconds there's something crazy going on. It's just insane.
Well, so you were mentioning that, like, you know, all of a sudden all the while this is all going on, Old Devil is... And yeah, for a while you'll forget about Old Devil because there's just too many. There's a guy that plays that randomly will do like traps in the road,
right?
And like, you know, capture people, and then he's bombing people and shit. And it's just like, what is going
like,
on?
Like, they turn into dummies on a stick, and then they drag them, and then they
I
go
think
into
he
the
was
ground.
Just, I think he was testing his traps there. He was like waiting for people to come along, and he's like, I'm going to test these traps. And
yeah, that's some of the stuff I've never figured out. The later on, the missiles that turn people into pig heads. I don't understand that.
Okay, so there was an interesting connection for me there because do you remember the movie Jack Frost that they did on Mystery Science Theater years ago? And
yes,
there's that. Okay, so they turn the guy into a bear, but he looks more like they call him a mouth breathing bear, but he kind of looks like a pig.
There was a pig sled.
Right. Okay. And so, but do you remember the little guy that plays the
mushroom
guy?
Man, yeah.
Didn't the guy's voice, whoever did the dubbing for this, sound exactly like Ratface? Like
maybe a little bit.
Listen to that again. That little mushroom guy, and then listen to Ratface. And I'm like,
Manushka.
I think that's got.
We're gonna do that film. Trust me.
Oh,
another Jack Frost.
It's a much much better Jack Frost.
Yeah, what? And it's got like a lot of the old Russian like Baba Yaga and stuff in it. All the
it's a Russian Finnish mishmash of a strangeness that you got to see to believe.
With some weird Homer references in there. It's
from
all
the
over.
Odyssey. Like
she keeps calling like the Dawn rosy fingered Dawn. I'm like, that's totally Homer. What's going on right now?
Yeah, there's a lot of weirdness in that. But there's a lot of weirdness in this film
that
too.
That voice reminded me. It was like that's Ratface.
Yeah.
So now I want to look it up.
So yeah, all of this stuff is happening, and you really got to have a scorecard in order to keep track of things. It takes multiple viewings. I'm not sure how you guys are able to pick up the plot
because we kept turning and going, Paul, what's going on?
Well, I mean, and you the whole time you said you can't like not like stare at the screen, you know, from the very beginning.
Right, don't blink.
Don't blink because there'll be something. And so I'm watching this thing, and you know me, I'm always on my phone. So for me to be like, you know, this had me engrossed. I was just like, what the fuck? Because
you have no idea, literally, what's gonna happen next.
No, and that's good. I want a movie that confuses the fuck out of me, in a good way. Like makes me go, oh my god, what is going on here?
Now,
so that I can continue.
The
this.
Fun thing is that in between all the out of the you know crazy weirdness that's going on, there's a lot of actually fun, good kung fu stuff that's also choreographed
amazing.
In there. Amazing stuff. You know, these guys knew their genre, and
they're like dancing on walls and shit.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
Well, hence the Crouching Tiger reference, but. But the thing that I noticed about it that was great is like, you know, when you watch Crouching Tiger or something like
Hidden
that,
Dragon,
it's everything's kind of slow and beautiful. And here everything's sped
up for
you
fun.
Know? Yeah. And so even though it's like legit awesome choreography, it's funny because it's so fast, you know, and you're like, wow, that was really legit, but I'm still laughing at it.
Who's the guy like, it wasn't W.C. Fields, but some guy like that, that did those kind of like really fast, like, you know, silly... videos. I don't know if they're shorts or whatever, but the people who they run around, they bonk each other.
Like Buster Keaton?
No.
Keystone Cops.
Fuck. I can't think of that name. There's something reminding me of that, where it's like, you know, you would people be running around in a circle trying to chase somebody or something.
Yeah, anything.
It reminds me of Bugs Bunny.
It's like anything, if you speed it up, it just inherently becomes comical.
Yeah.
And
then some of it, I think, is going to be the dubbing, because again, like a lot of Asian films, they probably didn't spend a whole lot of money on the English dubs mm-hmm. for an American audience because it wasn't made for an American audience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So who knows exactly what some of the lines are going to be, but some of the ones that are in there are fracking hysterical. My favorite is when Old Devil towards the end invades the temple and he's sending all these missiles and they don't know what's going on. And they look at him and they see him standing up on the roof and he's like, ha ha, I'm the devil. And he's like, hey, don't threaten us and get off our roof.
that was a great
oh my God.
There was some great lines because, I mean, who knows if the guy actually said that, but like, if he didn't, you know, that's amazing. Like, or if he did, that's amazing because that was one of the best lines ever, you know.
I love how at the end, or not at the end, but when Granny is expiring and she says you have to go find the drunken Wu-Tang or whatever, and it just like that's the last thing she says when you die. Well, your only hope is this drunk old dude. Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks.
How does she know that?
Oh, because she's got her powers.
I know, but how could she, even she, how could she trust her powers at that point? She's got to be like, really, universe? This is the answer? Really?
Well, it sucks being me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness. It was just so nutso and over the top.
Yeah.
Remember the banana monster, the guy who's dressed up, and you were like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, yeah. He's just wearing that costume for what reason? Because he was in there hitting on Sugar Plum, and then she plays a trick on him and makes a crab bite his finger, and then all of a sudden he's in this giant banana suit. Why?
As you do.
He stole the gold.
He was the professional mourner. Yeah.
Is that kind of like peeing on a jellyfish sting? Get bit by a crab, put on a banana.
Yes,
I mean,
does
it work?
It makes as much sense as peeing on a jellyfish sting, doesn't it?
And then at one point, the original suitor Sugar Plum, you know, he's pissed off that now she loves Ratface. So he dresses up like him and lures Ratface into this cave, and all of a sudden he finds all of these different mannequins that look just like him, and then you go through this whole thing where like they do the whole mirror image gag, and they do a whole bunch of physical gags that are just a lot of fun.
And then they're just like fighting each other. And at first I literally thought it was just him fighting himself or whatever. But then, as you guys pointed out, it was that guy. And then I was like, okay, now I see it. But like,
thought it was the same guy.
It was the same guy.
Okay, Ratface was confused. And what was like, maybe I'm not me.
I was just gonna say, what was his first thought when he saw something? Maybe I'm not me. Yeah, that's what I would think if I saw someone that looked like me. Oh shit, am I not myself anymore?
Did that guy just steal myself?
Oh my God, who am I now?
It was so
give me a mirror, quick.
Funny. I love Ratface. Ratface is just one of my favorite comedic characters of all time.
He's so great. Like, did he ever do this again? Did he play Ratface?
Yeah, he played Ratface in all of those movies.
All three of those,
So, and so he's, like, walking around drunk the whole time. But he's not drunk. I mean, he's making sense of everything or whatever. He's just drinking.
He's just drinking wine, quote unquote.
One of my favorite bits is him drinking the wine. He's drinking that one wine. He's like, and the guy's like, You have to be able to tell me, you know, what the wine is, or you can't get the next one or something, right?
Or you have to stop drinking.
Right. So he's like, and he says this thing, and then there's one and he can't figure it out. So he's like, okay, let me drink it more and let me see. Okay, and then I think he finally figures it out or something.
Yeah,
then,
they all had the names at the bottom.
Yeah, and whatever it was, which was
you
not
said it was
translated,
piss.
He was pissed.
Was it?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
When I went online, everybody said.
Everybody said it was like piss. Yeah, because there's a label on the bottom, but we can't read it.
Probably in Cantonese, it probably either said it or something.
But when he looks at it, he throws up. So we know it's something bad.
Oh, yeah.
You thought it might have been lighter fluid at first.
I was just throwing out all sorts of different things.
Well, yeah, lighter fluid, then we thought X-lax or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
it could have been anything.
But it was piss, and then he threw up and...
You know, normally when you construct a movie out of bits, like little itty bitty scenes, and just string them all together, we've seen that before.
Well,
they're almost always failures.
That's like a sketch comedy.
Yeah, they're almost always failures. But in this case, it worked. It really, really worked.
And it felt, it did seem still structured, even though It was not in this, you know, normal sense or whatever. It was structured. Like, it had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And in each kind of act, you know, they kind of, like, something happened to, like, lead on to the next stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was structured really well. It's just, like, it felt like a sketch comedy where it was, like, in Mel Brooks sketch comedy kind of thing.
Like, if you were to take Mel Brooks and Jackie Chan and give them, you know, Quaaludes or something and just...
Yeah.
Acid.
Acid. I mean, it did feel like Mel Brooks on acid, yes. Mm-hmm. A little bit, with a little... Jackie Chan.
Well, that's why I thought the cartoon reference. Yeah, I think Moody, you were the one that brought up Looney Tunes to start. Yeah. Or somebody did.
Oh yeah, and we have talked about over the top movies, but this is over the top. Over the top.
I mean, the guy that was doing all the traps and everything, he was a Wile E. Coyote. Like,
yes.
There was.
Yes.
You know, he was just not waiting for. We didn't know who he was waiting for. It didn't seem like he was waiting for anybody. Just like, let me just do, you know, set off all these traps. And
wasn't
then...
the guy doing the traps, wasn't that Turtle Boy?
It was Turtle Man.
Yeah. So he was just trying to...
Double dipping.
He was waiting for Terry Boy to come through because he was trying to get back at him because he got humiliated
right,
in the street fight.
And remember, when his trap finally failed and he blew himself up, they were going to go grab him. And then all of a sudden, Scarf Lady flies out of nowhere, grabs his stupid ass, and flies off with him again.
Yeah. Right.
A lot of people flying all over the place.
What did he say? Like, because he goes into the you know, he falls into his own trap, whatever.
He said something funny. But
he said something to the effect of, like, I reap what I sow.
Reap what I sow. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Like,
it was just like, what the fuck?
The first thing so you would funny. Say if you blew yourself up, you wouldn't be like, oh shit, or something.
And
you'd be like, I reap what I sow.
There are some serious moments in there, too. I mean, like, the whole part with Starry Devil. I mean, obviously, she's not a good person anyway, but, you know, she gets poisoned by an old devil who forces her to work for him by, you know, she's going to die of old age, like, instantly through magic, and unless, you know, she takes these drugs. And that was kind of a shitty thing to do.
Yep. And she did try to fight him off first.
She did.
She did not immediately go, oh, Satan, sure, I'll,
and then
I'll
another
team up
point,
with you.
They, when, you know, they're resting at Sugar Plum's house, they lock all the doors and set the place on fire to kill them.
Yeah.
That was pretty nasty.
So what would have happened had Old Devil been able to get those things?
I have no idea.
Yeah, because
idea.
I don't think they ever told us what the secret documents were for.
No.
What they? Do you think if we watched all three of them, we would know?
It's possible.
Not
I
probable.
I would love to do that if I can get all of them in one sitting, all
oh,
in,
God,
it,
all
in English.
Like, a whole day full of
yes. How
stuff.
Awesome
like,
would that be?
That's a good triple feature. I would have.
Absolutely.
I think that's how the world ends. So you better be careful with that.
Like I said,
getting them all together.
Yeah.
It's like a journey. And
it's like the Hellraiser puzzle or something.
Like I said, even though these guys are definitely not Shaw Brothers, there's still a lot of production. Look at all the costumes.
Oh, my God,
look at all
the
sets.
Yeah.
I mean, when they were in villages, they looked like real villages. When they were in that temple, I mean, they looked like real buildings. I mean, they spent some money on this, and it all looked really, really good.
It did. The costumes were incredible.
Costumes were amazing, you know.
The Scarf Lady, as much as we make fun of her, that was really badass.
That was really
badass.
It was. She
really
was cool. You know, she definitely had a lot of ninja to her. It just, you know, all the colors were really cool. The music was really good. Everything was just spot on. And like I said, the fun little props, the one, remember Granny's gigantic over-the-top sword?
Yeah,
it was like a yard wide.
How about her pipe
nuts.
That looked like a tenor saxophone?
Pipes.
All that fucking weed or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
Tobacco.
Which
well,
she just,
it did not look
she
like
just,
tobacco
She
first.
Just, like, packs it in there. Like, who does that much drugs at once? Who?
I don't know. Granny.
Granny. Clearly, Granny can
so
handle
much
it.
Smoke, but she used the smoke to, like, keep hiding from the guy and everything.
But, yeah, so he's Ratface and Granny, apparently, in these other movies, too, which is awesome.
So wait, oh.
But this is the only one that I know of that he directed. The others were his brother.
But wait, so is this the last one?
That I'm not 100% sure. I've heard that this is the second one, but this is Miracle Fighters 3. So I'm assuming this is actually the last one. But I don't remember because...
But Granny died in this one.
I know. But it doesn't matter because, like I said, it's the same characters over and over and over.
With
different stories. I do know that in the one that I saw, Old Devil becomes a vampire. And then there's this whole undead vampire thing that also goes on.
That sounds
fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I know the clips that I saw for the first one is there's one point where they do one of those pretend to be a little person thing where the guy has the arms as the using for the feet, and they do a whole kung fu thing with it that is to die for.
Is that a clip on YouTube?
Yes,
or
it is high amazing. Flapping hysterical. So these guys, they know what they're doing. They're taking all of the traditional, you know, martial arts and kung fu stuff, and then adding in all of this wonderful silly slapstick humor that is just unbelievable.
As far as you know, is this the first comedy kung fu movie, or were there others before?
No, there were other ones, but it was rare. It was definitely rare.
So, did these become more famous than others, or are there others that became like the classic? These are the classic kung fu comedy movies.
I think these were probably more along the lines of if you knew it. You know, there are certain people who knew about these films.
These are like more cult-like?
Yeah, you know? these are more cult-like in this country. I think they have a bigger following in Hong Kong. The UN clan, as they're known, are pretty popular. They have a lot of fans overseas. And like I said, they ended up working in Hollywood so much that they have a lot of respect and a lot of people know who they are. So, yeah, and like I said, Charlie, or Chung Yan Yuan, the guy who played the director and who played Rat Face and Granny, he's as least of 2019, he was still doing martial arts choreography.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's amazing. I'd love to talk to him.
So, wow, this has been an interesting, journey with it, you know, just learning all this stuff, because I've seen stuff like Shaolin Soccer and Kung Fu,
Panda.
The one that you watched, the one you mentioned, there was a Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh yeah, Kung Fu Hustle.
Stuff like that. Like I've seen those back in the day.
Sort of the Hollywooder version.
Yeah, and they were sort of fun and cute and funny. They had some funny bits to it.
Believe me when I tell you, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of what I call chop sake movies. They're all martial arts, Wu Tang, Kung Fu kind of movies, and
we still don't know what Wu-Tang means.
Oh God! And it's this giant rabbit hole that you can get lost in. Trust me.
But they're not the only Wu-Tang, right?
So. No, no. In fact, Wu-Tang, the whole Wu-Tang thing, I think, is a group that either legally or illegally started repackaging most of these movies, slapping on a Wu-Tang title, and then releasing them in the United States.
Oh. Well, what about the band itself, like the group?
They took their name from these, because, like I said, these movies have been coming out for years.
Well, this one was 1984, you said?
It was made in 83, released in 84, and then came to the United States in the mid-90s on VHS. And, you know, like I said, it came through these guys who probably didn't legitimately have the rights to it, which is why there was no DVD version of that.
Right.
So I forget who the company is that I bought the DVD from. It was $30. But I'm definitely gonna get it.
Yeah.
But God, how
30
awesome!
$30 isn't bad for out of print, hard to get.
They are now re-releasing the Shaw Brothers stuff. Some of them on Blu-ray. How awesome would this be on Blu-ray with commentary?
Especially
with these UN brothers are still around. How awesome!
Wow,
would it be
to
talk
those
about
times
this?
That we were like, Paul, what's going on? Paul's like, I don't know. And then God. That would be great.
Well, it would be great to get, answers.
Yeah. So trust me, when I was saying we could do a show of nothing but wacky kung fu movies, I am not kidding you. There is just some crazy, crazy, crazy over-the-top stuff. And it's just wonderful.
The only thing marginally like this that I've ever seen are the Rush Hour movies, which obviously are not as over-the-top and crazy as this. But that's the closest thing I can...
And there's some really good serious ones out there, too. You know, I know on Film Freaks we're going to end up doing Five Deadly Venoms, which is one of my favorite. I consider it to be the best martial arts movie out there. It doesn't have Bruce Lee. That's a Shaw Brothers movie. But Shaw Brothers put out tons and tons of great content. And these guys all worked at one point with Shaw Brothers. It's just they ended up wanting to do their own thing with Lo Wei, and clearly they were kind of going in a different direction. They wanted to do the more slapsticky, fun, humorous kind of thing, kind of like the way Jackie Chan wanted to do that. And, you know, he worked for Shaw Brothers too, and then he went off to Hollywood and did his own thing. You know, Jet Li came through this, Sammo Hung came through this. There's a whole list of folks that we know in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and aughts.
How Chow Yun Fat.
Yeah. They all came from this whole thing.
Interesting.
You know? So, yeah. That's great. We don't think about it, but, you know, Hong Kong was the mecca of filmmaking in Asia, and it's as big, possibly just as big as Hollywood. I mean, the amount of stuff that was put out there.
Is it still like that, or...?
I couldn't tell you. I would say probably not, especially given what's going on with China right now and what they're doing to Hong Kong, unfortunately. And then, you know, like I said, once the patriarch of the Shaw's brothers passed away, that kind of put a big break on it, too. And now China is making their own movies now because, you know, it's been kind of a big thing in Hollywood. It's like, you know, how is it going to play in China? Because they're making more money off of Hollywood movies in China than they are here in the States. Mm-hmm. And it's become a big deal now. But now China is making their own movies. And like they just did a new version of what is the Korean War movie? Chosen. The Frozen Hill of Chosin, which, you know, was a big deal in the West. But they're doing it with a Chinese spin on it. A nationalistic spin, right. Frankly. Because they're turning into this big, giant, great victory for China. When the fact is the Americans, you know, I mean, they were a much, much smaller force and beat off this huge Chinese force. So you can look at it. Depends on how you want to look at it. But yeah. China is actually making a whole lot of stuff and putting a whole lot of money into their movie making things, so it's not as indie anymore. You know, most of the Japanese companies are all gone, and you know,
it seems like the hot thing right now is Korean cinema.
Yeah, a lot of stuff in Korea,
Squid
though.
Game and Parasite and all that. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh,
a lot of stuff in Korea. So Korean cinema has taken off in the last 15-20 years, which is good. And then, of course, remember I introduced you to Indonesia and Sampodi Sans and all of his wackadoodle movies.
Is he the mm-hmm. little guy? Who is he? Wait.
He's
No, I'm thinking of, who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the guy that's on your bobblehead.
Oh, Wing Wing. Okay. Yeah, no. That's a whole other, that's
from?
Philippines. That's
Philippines. Okay.
Yeah, no, there's a whole slew of Filipino movies as well. So trust me.
We could go down that rabbit hole someday. Sure
yes, we will. We'll show you. You would love Wing Wing.
I think, well, you showed me one. One time you came over.
Oh, did I bring Wing Wing?
You did bring one. And I think it might have been at our house in Hampton. I can't
was
even
it
remember.
From your
this
was
a,
yeah.
This was like
I
one of the
have.
First. Yeah, because this is the thing that made my boyfriend think that Paul was crazy. Because he brought that and Sex Squatch. And Matt does not, he hadn't even watched Mystery Science Theater yet, so he didn't understand this concept of watching bad movies. And after Paul left, he was like, that guy's a weirdo.
That totally sounds like me.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was
a great
Wang
double
Wang.
Feature.
It is a great double feature.
It was hard.
Because
it was difficult.
Wang Wang is a great entry level, and then Sex Squatch is a big push you into
big
the deep
jump.
End.
Yeah.
Jump into.
But no, I liked Wang Wang. I thought he was great.
So yeah.
But
for
no,
how...
anyway, the Indonesian person.
Yeah, Sampodi Sans. He did Magic
okay.
Lizard. He did.
Okay.
Oh, we got to show you Hanuman and the Five Riders. Oh my God, it's the whack.
Okay, that one
dirty.
You've mentioned several times.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
crazy over the top. It's just nuts.
It was one of our first for us Zoom movies that we did for Indie Film Cafe, and we got Rebecca Reinhardt.
And it was a
unanimous
30.
And it's just, she loves those really, really terrible, like, you know, bad, but fun movies,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that was definitely it, so.
Which now bringing us to a point where we got to talk about scoring this film, which is a difficult task.
Because it was good. It was good.
So, you know, just for remind everybody out there, our stinkometer, we take three scores from our three different viewers, rated 1 to 10, by which the lower the number, the less stink. And the higher the number means a whole lot of stink. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, a movie that you hated, but it is a movie that was probably poorly made and it has a lot of bad stuff in it. You might still love it. We do. We love that kind of thing.
We love stinky movies.
So, and then we'll take our scores and add them up and we'll figure out what is the stinkiest movie of the season.
But by the way, real quick, I loved how, John Ward described the stinkometer. You know, we haven't talked about this yet, but John Ward was like, it's as if you know, you were saying, this is a terrible steak. How bad is this steak? Like, 1 to 10 rating. How bad is the stink? You know, mm-hmm. right? So that's I've never thought about it that way, but yeah.
You should put like descriptors by all the numbers, like 1 to 10, and like what it would physically do to your body if you smelled it.
I thought about, you know, something like that.
Like
but
your nose hairs fall out, and your skin peels off your face.
It was hard enough keeping track of the website scoring, as it was, but. There is a ladder of stink which goes up to the stinky heavens, and everybody that gets a 30 gets into stinky heaven.
I'd like to be able to say something like, "Yeah, I give it a face peel and a half."
Well, in our blue cheese, we rate them by cheese depending on how smelly the cheese is.
Well, is there a get Limburger you on setting?
There is a Limburger
setting.
There
you go.
Because that made sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, now it's time to score the films. So, Mr. Moody, I'm going to go to you first.
Okay, so as we said, this is sort of this was a good movie. This wasn't a terrible, stinky movie. I mean, it's obviously bad on purpose, you know, with the acting, overacting, and terrible, like, and just silliness and everything. I'm going to have to give it a 2, you know, like, it's low on, and you even said, I think, before we started that this might get a low rating, you know, to me, you told me that, and I was like, really? Like, you're gonna pick something like
then why are we watching this if it's not bad?
Why is Paul picking this? Like, Jesus. But I see why. Yes. This is definitely not, when I say 2, I mean, it's, you know, just, it's a pretty decent, but it's goofy and silly and fun. So what about you, Jillian?
So this is hard because I know it was like bad on purpose, you know, like the overacting and stuff, which makes it brilliant. I love stuff like that, but I wonder if it's hard for me to appreciate it culturally, because when I think of bad on purpose, I think of Mel Brooks, or I think of Buster Keaton or something like that, and I feel like something in me is expecting it to be, if you're bad on purpose, you have to play it straight, you know, like when there's those terrible jokes in the Mel Brooks movies, the actors deliver it with a totally straight face, you know, like what knockers? Oh, thank you, doctor. You know, like, I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing to say, but if it was Ratface being saying it, he'd be like, wow, let me have some wine. Great knockers, you know? And so it's like, he could deliver the same joke, but it'd be so different. So because of that, because I don't know if it's a cultural bias I have or what, I think I'll give it a 3, because I just wanted the jokes to be straighter, I guess. You know, maybe it's because I'm too into the British humor or something, but
it could very well be.
But yeah, like everybody else was saying, the choreography, the costumes were amazing, the story was good. I mean, it was just like the over-the-topness to me was just a little too much for me, I think.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha.
Not enough to put it into real stinky territory, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I'm probably going to go with a 1. It's just one of my favorite movies of all time. And the thing is that I totally get what you're saying with the cultural bias part, but the way I look at it as a lot of this is physical humor, and the kind of physical humor that's going to transcend any language. When you see some of these crazy stunts that are going on, you're going to laugh no matter what language you speak.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So to me, that was very, very smart. Okay, so like when poor Fatty is like trying to attack and slapping people, and then she ends up turning over to try and crush someone, and Ratface puts his gourd there, and she sits on it and goes, oh! That was freaking hysterical.
Yeah.
No matter what language you know, you're going to find that funny.
So maybe the thing that didn't do it for me was just the dubbing. Maybe if I actually spoke the language and watched it in the original language and knew what was going on, I would love it even more. But the dubbing
can be problematic.
Made it.
It's probably, what, English people doing the dubbing, right? I mean, they sounded like they could be Cantonese or whatever, but like, you know, I don't know.
As I said, I think it was Father Mushroom from Jack Frost.
And yeah, there's probably a lot that we're missing because we don't know Cantonese and we can't follow it. And there's especially a lot of cultural stuff going on that we definitely don't recognize and don't understand, which certainly adds to the confusion, but also to some of the humor as well.
It was like, you guys remember, did you all watch Squid Game?
No.
Oh my gosh. This is highly talked about on the internets, but like there's dubbing and subtitles, right? And the subtitles and the dubbing don't even match. And you're just like, ah, this means something totally different than
so
this.
So kind of like What's Up Tiger Lily from like Woody Allen, where he sort of took that.
I don't know that one. Don't know that one.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
It's fun.
Yeah, he took a movie. From what I've understood, he took a movie that was from another country, like Japan or something, and then made his own dialogue with it,
which was totally not the dialogue. Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay.
He took a pretty mediocre Hong Kong spy movie and turned it into
a Woody Allen movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where they were trying to get the secret to the egg salad.
Oh,
yeah.
That's where the movie Quest for the Egg Salad.
Yes,
got it.
That sounds great.
It's silly and funny, and it's just goofy, and yeah. So there is kind of a thing going on, and then that's why I wanted to show that other one, the Rock and Roll Wrestling Women versus the Aztec Mummy, because Reiner did the same thing. They took that thing and they said, "Let's get rid of the original dialogue. Let's put in our own. Mm-hmm. Have fun with it and put in our own music." And yeah, it's great. I love that kind of stuff. But at the same time, part of me also wants to know exactly what's going on,
right?
You know, with some of this stuff, and who knows what actually is being said. It's hard to say, but in the meantime, it was just freaking hysterical to watch, and I was very pleased to hearing you guys laughing all the time.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. I mean, I had no clue what we were getting all ourselves into, but it just was from the beginning of the movie, kicking it off. I even said something like, there's like one scene where all of a sudden, like everything was normal, and then the next scene, it was like it got you like from the get go, and you were just like, wait a minute, like give me time to breathe. Holy cow! And they don't.
Starting right off with the hibachi slide of doom was a good choice.
I know.
Good choice.
I mean, it's
amazing.
I almost want to say that it was so close to a one too. Like I really. I bet if I watched this more like you did, you know, and this is like one of your favorite movies.
Absolutely.
It seems. So like I guarantee you, just like Lunatics of Love Story last season, that's a movie I watch all the freaking time, and I can feel that, you know.
Well, and it's funny because I haven't watched this movie in like 3 or 4 or 5 years because I haven't had a VHS player. We don't have the DVD until I just bought it. It hasn't come here yet, so. We had to hook up the old VHS player to the TV.
We never mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, and actually watch a tape. And I have several movies that are VHS-only films.
Uh-huh.
And this was one until recently. So, yeah, I hadn't seen it in a good long time. So it was time. It was definitely, definitely time. And like I said, from season one, this is one that I wanted to show. So
there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I was not... looking forward to it when Moody said, oh yeah, Paul says that this is probably going to have a low rating on the Stinkometer. I'm like, what are we here for then?
Yeah. I too, I'm not going to lie.
I was
a little bummed. I was like, wait, so we're not going to watch another.
It's not going to be like Great Expectations or something, is it?
No,
oh God.
No. But I mean, you know, we do have a tradition on the show of not always doing bad
films.
We
well,
because
if you do bad films all the
time right.
it will get kind of boring.
Right.
And we want to do good films as well. But, I mean, and we have more movies now to choose from.
Because
I mean, I'm saying, like, we have an extra movie a month or whatever, you know, so coming. So, like, 12 more movies that normally wouldn't be this, you know, you're coming in on this is your second season, right? With us, you were the last.
I don't know which season.
Did you start last season?
Yeah,
I don't know where the seasons begin and end.
Okay. They begin January and end on December.
Okay.
You know.
Yep. So yeah, I did one last season.
Yeah, one last season. So you know, you sort of are in the fold right now of knowing kind of what it's.
And
like.
This is still fairly cult. I mean, I haven't. Red Letter Media hasn't done this, and Riff Tracks hasn't done this, and yeah, I don't think anybody else has done this that I know of.
Yeah, and I was telling you, like, I thought this was, like, a What the Fuck Friday, but then I was, like, thinking, not many people would have this on a podcast, you know?
Right.
I don't think many people talk about it on a podcast, so this is sort of a perfect thing for that, because, like, this could be the perfect one for our YouTube shows, but many other YouTube shows would already probably do it, you know, so...
Well, I do know one YouTube show that did cover all three films.
Which one is that?
I forget what they're called, but I'll make sure when I do the website that I'll put the link up on there. And they very briefly, like a minute or 2 minutes at most, talk about each film, which kind of isn't enough. I mean, we're given a full hour, and I tried to do as much research on this film as I could.
You did. I mean, you were pretty researched.
And I'm telling you, man, there's still not a lot of information out there, but the people who know this movie love this movie, and they put out all kinds of information, and I was able to glean a lot. I still don't know whether the UNs are actual real siblings or not. I guess the only way we'll find out is if Moody manages to call one up and we get one for our interview show.
I would love that. I would go crazy. I know you would go crazy.
Oh, yeah. I would love to find out the details on this film because, wow, what a hidden masterpiece.
So I still want the watermelon action figure. And if anybody listening designs things for, like, 3D printers, please make one and put it up on Thingiverse or something because I want one.
Everybody wants a watermelon monster.
I want one.
I just want one for real. Like, I want, you know, an actual watermelon monster.
Like, to answer the front door for you when people come by.
Put my plate on his head and he can walk around.
Yeah.
The mailman. With
the nippleators.
The annoying Jesus Christ, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints guys come up to my door. Mormons thinking they're
better have some carrots or some whatever.
Yeah, something. What, does he eat carrots?
Remember he had a bunch of vegetables because he was trying to chomp his bits, and so he's like shoving.
And that's when we were like, feed me, Seymour.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, so much has happened. I keep forgetting these things.
No, you got it. I'll tell you, man. You're going to
want
to watch
it more
again.
Than once.
Yeah. So much is packed in.
And this is definitely a movie I would watch more than once.
Me too. Yep.
I don't think I'd watch Die Hard Dracula more than once, but, you know, that's fine.
I would watch the opening scene with the flying coffin more than once.
Well, I think that's on YouTube.
Well, and here you go, introductory filmmakers. Put stuff in your film. I mean, don't just pad it out with boring stuff that just nothing happens. I mean, this is a movie where just tons and tons and tons and tons of stuff goes.
And everything's important.
Yes.
It's not, none of it's throwaway.
Right.
Yeah, and it's all important, and it's all just wackadoodle. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just everything, every scene is just bam, bam. What is going on here? And I loved it.
I've seen some cartoons this wacky, but I don't know if I've seen a live action film this wacky.
It was
wacky.
A live action cartoon.
Yep,
it was a Looney Tunes.
Yeah, yeah.
Scooby Doo. Combination thing.
Yeah.
They even said a character goes, ghost.
Yes, it did. That's right.
Ratface deserves his own cartoon at this point.
I wonder if they did that just for the benefit of the English audience that they were dubbing for, though.
Well, she looked like she was saying, like, more than, so maybe also some of the dubbing.
That's true.
Dubbing does, I think, go to, like, okay, what does this person look like they're saying, you know?
Like bad lip reading, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, like I said, these movies were as a response to the Shaw Brothers' Encounters of the Spooky Kind series, so with Sammo Hung. So I'm going to score some of them, and we're going to have them here as well.
Oh,
so
you
get to check them out.
Yep.
And there's a whole freaking giant list of them, too. And I don't even have most of them. I haven't even seen most of them because it's just a whole other genre that I haven't had the chance to go through everything yet. But I've seen a bunch, and I have a pretty good idea what would work on Indie Film Cafe and what movies folks need to dig out and find.
This was definitely a good Indie Film Cafe movie. So thank you, Paul, for picking this. I mean, once again, it scored low, and it was so perfect, you know, like you were... Absolutely
bad in a good way.
It would have been hilarious if we thought it was like 9 and you were like 1.
I'd have been very surprised.
At least one of us wouldn't have left here alive tonight.
No, Paul understands. It's like if we didn't get it or something and this was his humor.
He'd be on my level yet.
He'd be sad.
There are people who do not like that kind of humor or physical humor or cartoons.
I know. Like, I was talking to somebody the other day and she's like, oh, God, I can't stand Mel Brooks. What? And then I'm like, even like Spaceballs? And nope, none of it. Monty Python? Oh, no. And I'm mm-hmm. really?
Oh, yeah. If you like Monty Python, you'll love this.
Oh, and Monty Python was sketch comedy. Mm-hmm. Even in their films, like, their big hit,
Holy Grail.
Holy Grail had like nothing but scenes that were just basically skits.
Yeah. You
know, each scene was a specific scene, and it did follow Arthur, and Arthur is like the drug guy, you know, like in a way, like he's more straight and everybody else is more kooky, but you know.
And remember what we said though, as far as comedy has to be quick. It has to have timing. And mm-hmm. that's where those movies where this sort of sketch formula works, because they're all fast, quick, hitting.
No, I know you don't like Airplane and that kind of humor, but I mean, still, those are kind of movies that are like that, you know, where it's joke after joke after joke, and you know, my dad actually watched Airplane recently and was not laughing as much as he remembered. So I don't know. I'd have to revisit that. I've not done that in a while.
Trust me, one of the movies we are doing this season is an example of that from the 80s, which fails miserably. And there is nothing worse than bad comedy. Bad comedy will just kill you. And we are going to watch it. I'm not going to tell you the name of it, but I've got it. And it's pretty bad.
We got plenty to show you guys this year. Yep. I mean, this comes out in April, and April like is just the beginning. Like, we still got all the way going. So Paul's got plenty to choose. I've got some fun ones that's coming up.
And I'm so pleased I get to do some of my VHS movies. Yay.
Yeah. I'm so happy that that it actually worked and mm-hmm. everything, that we got it.
You've
all.
You've got some VHS movies too.
I don't have that many, like,
we got a little
indie film.
Sea serpent.
I know. We're going to do that. But that's yours, you know, I think you're going to pick that one.
Yeah,
so.
We'll see.
You know. But, yeah, it's fun. It's just, like, there's so much to look forward to.
Absolutely.
So, thank you, Paul.
Sure.
So and, much to dread.
I don't know. Paul, at least, when he picks something, he doesn't pick it to be boring. Die Hard Dracula was not boring.
No.
This was definitely not boring, you know. The whole time I'm like, the only reason I asked if how many more minutes it had, because I had to pee. I didn't want to get up and turn off the thing. But I was like, all right, I'll wait. I'll wait 20 minutes.
You didn't want to pretend it was wine and
right. Put it in the bottle for the rat face.
And then, yeah, give it a rat face.
Got some wine for you, rat face.
Oh, dear.
I don't know where rat face is nowadays.
Oh,
you know?
It's a strange Hollywood, vintage. I think.
Well, I hope so.
All right. Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.
This was a lot of fun.
This was great.
I'm very glad that I finally got a chance to do this one, and there'll be more wild, wacky movies to come.
Yay!
All right. Enjoy us, and please join us for the next Indie Film Cafe, and we will see you on the flip side.
Bye.
Bye.
Give me the book, or I'll kill you all. Don't threaten us, and get off our roof.